Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. This is Thursday, October the 24th, 2013. And I want to thank you for tuning in this evening. I've got some great guests this evening, and I'm going to get to bringing my guests on in just a moment here, but just a couple of quick announcements. For those of you that are listening live, by all means, you're welcome throughout the program if you want to call in and speak to either myself or the guests or just say hello. You can call in at area code 646-716-4667. And if you're a little bit shy and you don't want to come on and say hello that way, you can send me an email. And I'll certainly relay the message to my guests at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And also, when you get a chance, visit me on Facebook and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog. And also make sure that you check out the Golf Talk Live blog or website at www.golftalkliveblog. As many of you remember, over the last few weeks, I had mentioned that I was going to be having tonight's guest come on again. We had had this gentleman on probably about a little over a month ago now, Mr. Bernie Pinder from Ontic Golf. And unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties that night, or rather I did, I guess, and it just wasn't satisfied with the outcome of that program. So I've invited him back, and he's going to talk to us here in a moment or two. But let me just one other quick thing I want to get out. I'm pretty excited about, and actually we were just talking about this off-air before I went live. November 7th, I've mentioned several times on the program, Mr. Billy Casper is going to be coming on here, so you want to make sure you tune in for that for a couple of reasons. He's coming on with another gentleman by the name of Kent Novus, who is the one of the founders of a great sports hydration drink called Nine Iron. They're going to be coming on and talking a little bit about that, and then Billy's going to stick around for a little while and talk a little bit about his career and his new book that's coming out, or actually has been out, I guess, for a little while now, called The Big Three and Me, which I'm sort of deep in the middle of reading right now, and I want to make sure I get that done, of course. But anyways, make sure you tune in for November 7th. Spread the word that Mr. Billy Casper is going to be coming on the program on November 7th here on Golf Talk Live. Let me get to my first guest tonight, Mr. Bernie Pinder. He's the founder of and president of Ontic Golf. And also joining him is Dr. Greg Ortman, who, if you remember, he was on a few weeks ago as well, talking about his book, Golfology. But tonight they're going to be talking a little bit about Ontic Golf. And gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Wow, Ted, this is excellent to be back on with you. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. I'm glad to have you guys back, and touch wood, we're going to pray that we don't have any technical difficulties tonight, and we'll get a clean show out for you. But Bernie, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to come back on, as I said, as a result of some of the problems that we had the last time, and just really give you a chance to talk. Let me just, before we start, though, I want to thank you on air. I know I've thanked you personally on the phone and via email, but Bernie had shipped me out a few weeks back one of his putters, and let me tell you, what a phenomenal, phenomenal putter. Probably one of the best clubs I've got in my bag now for sure, and I'm excited to get out there and use it. I'm hoping the weather's going to be good this weekend. I've been a little busy the last few weeks, and I haven't had a chance to get out and test it out yet, so I'm going out this weekend, whether it snows or whatever happens down here in Florida. So thank you very much, Bernie, for doing that. I really appreciate it, and I'm very excited to give it a good test.
Oh, I'm really glad you like it. We hear that a lot from people that we fit. You're talking about snow. We woke up to snow here this morning in Grand Haven, so we're a little envious of you down in Florida.
Yeah, I know.
A little?
You know, I was only kidding because we're not getting snow down here. So.
Yeah, I know that. You're rubbing it in is what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Bernie, let's just start first off. Let's just start a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the history of Ontic Golf, how it sort of came about, and how you sort of came about with the vision.
Ted, I tell you, I took up the game of golf in 1964. I was 24 years old. I was interviewed for a job as a sales engineer, and in that job, they asked me if I played golf, and I said these words exactly: "No, I am not going to play that stupid game." And I took the job. Moved out to Michigan from Maryland. I grew up in Maryland. And the set of clubs arrived. I think it was February or March. But I just started reading everything I could about the game of golf. The first time I hit a ball with a wedge, I was totally hooked. So that's really how I got started. I played in a few amateur tournaments through the 60s and 70s, a little bit in the 80s. I left that company and went into business for myself. But in 1987, in the middle of the night, I woke up with this concept for what we call our dynamic soul technology. It's basically, if you recall, Ping Answer came out with the heel and toe weighting. I just kind of took that and moved some weight down and created the two runners on the bottom of the putter. And at that time, I didn't dream or even realize that those two runners would become the real perfect platform sole for custom fitting to dial in the correct right angle. But one of the other things that I did back then, Ted, is we were the first company to start machining putter heads with 2.5 degrees aloft. And the reason was, if you recall, well, maybe you don't recall those days, but a lot of putters were made in 5 to 7 degrees of loft, but everybody was doing this forward press, so basically what they were doing is de-lofting, and I'm thinking, how consistent can that be? So I started doing some tests on different lofts and settled at 2.5, and actually I did a lot of testing with Ferris State University on putter loft, starting at 8 all the way down to 0, and we found in our test data that between 2 and 3 degrees of loft gave us the most consistent roll rates and distance control. So we've made all of our putters at 2.5 degrees aloft, and if you look at the industry, almost everybody now is down below 3, and I believe Tiger Woods even uses a putter at about 1.
Right.
But from 87, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is, so obviously, you know, the industry over time has done the same thing as you have done. Obviously, you've got the jump on them, but essentially they've realized that in order to keep it consistent, they needed to sort of find a measurement, if you will, to allow them to do that, rather than, like you said, doing a forward press all the time, which you're not going to do the same every single shot unless you're, you know, a machine. So obviously you had to sort of settle on an amount. That's great.
Well, you know, even if you look at Phil Mickelson, just not too long ago, he even wrote an article about this forward press that he was doing. And if you ever observed what he was doing, you know, he had a 7 or 7 to 8 degree of loft on his putter, and he's de-lofting it by moving his hand so far forward, and it was inconsistent. He was either hot or cold. Now you notice he's kind of gone away from that. There is a slight forward press, but he's gone away from that drastic forward press that he's promoting. So, but from that design, I don't even make that head anymore, by the way. I was the original. I used that in 1990. I tried to qualify for the senior tour at Prestancia down in Florida. But it was a hobby for me. I was really making onesie-twosies. I had some real good amateur players. I had a couple of local PGA guys using it. And in 2003, I had a group of guys call me. They wanted to meet, and because they were using a putter, and they just thought this thing needed to get out there. So the company Ontic was formed in 2003. We had our signature series putter at that time. I only had two designs. We were trying to sell them online. We ran into a lot of difficulties because it was difficult to measure. Because I had to bend everything on a Mitchell to custom fit it. You know, I could do it in person, but to try and do it online was an issue. And so in 2000, again, that was 2003 when we formed Ontic Golf. In 2007, my son and I, sitting around thinking, how can we make a putter that the individual could adjust the lie themselves? And after about 17 months of development, we introduced the Impulse Series mallet at the PGA show. And Ted, we came out of that show, the comments and their sales were phenomenal. In the first 3 months, we have done really well. Well, towards the end of that summer is when the economy really started to take a hit, and not being branded, not being a name, we also took a hit.
Let me just interject real quick on that note, because I don't think a lot of people understand. I mean, you know, just to give you an example, when you get fitted for a driver, You know, you have to kind of go through the same sort of ritual where, you know, you have to look at the length of shaft and obviously, you know, some people want to be able to now, I mean, obviously with the equipment out there now, you can adjust the face to, you know, open or closed or what have you, depending on the type of shot you want to hit.
Correct.
And I don't think a lot of people really understood until, you know, maybe the last few years. I mean, obviously at the pro level, but I'm talking about the average Joe out in the street, don't really understand that really you need to be fitted for the putter.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that a little bit.
And I don't want to jump ahead, but you understand what I'm saying. A lot of people didn't realize,
yes.
you know, unless you're in the profession itself,
yes.
that you really need to be custom fitted for a putter as well. So
absolutely.
I'll let you continue
pros,
on, but I wanted
you know,
to get that
you,
point out there because...
Yeah, you really know that the pros were being fitted for each individual, but the putters still, even back then, were being bent. And we're going to talk about a convex sole, okay, but, you know, putters were being bent for the pros. I believe Alan Doyle on a senior tour, if you ever saw his putter, because he was a hockey player, that thing had to be like 55 degrees of lie angle. I mean, it was really flat. Okay, so, but, you know, from the start, I was pretty much a one-man band, so to speak. My son was
right.
involved. The first gentleman that came on as a PGA was Kevin Arnold. He's now a direct consultant for a teaching pro here in West Michigan. He's part of our company. Fortunately, I was introduced then to Greg Ortman. I drove all the way to Pennsylvania, met with him, and just it was a real delight to have him come on board with us with all of his credentials. And Greg has been very instrumental with Ontic Golf and doing a lot of testing for us. We're working on some new technology. We've got this VR system that we're using now in putters. We do something very proprietary to the putter shaft. After Greg, we had Andy Harris, a tour rep, meet us at the PGA show and just is now repping for us. And he had played on the tour for a while. He got one of our putters into Retief Goosen's hands. Retief
right.
used it at the 2012 PGA Championship, and again at Valero. He's had some back issues, and right now Andy is trying to reconnect with him. I went down to Firestone at the request of a tour player. I don't think I had better mention his name, but he is.
That's fine.
Okay, he's one of the real top players. I made a putter specially for him. It's called Light the Fire. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on our website soon. Just to kind of know what we're fighting just a little bit, he makes 9 out of 11 putts from 18 feet, turns to me and says,
wow.
put this in my locker, and he says to Andy, you got to be patient because of the contractual situation. So that's a little
right.
bit of what we... You know, we're trying to overcome that, okay? So that's a little bit of a history. You know, the 2.5 degrees aloft, our dynamic sole, and then the Impulse series, when we developed that, where we're trying to promote that the average golfer can actually fit themselves for line angle. There are two critical areas that we feel for the golfer that needs to be done. You know, you're talking about the fitting of drivers. You're talking about the fitting of irons, the lie angles, the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
Technology in the shaft has just changed this industry, as well as the golf ball. But in putters,
right.
really hasn't been a lot done. They've been playing with MOI. They've been playing with face balancing. They've been playing with, the spider, you know, with the weights in the back and all
right.
that. But the two real keys in becoming a more consistent putter is to have precision lie angle for you personally and have the right
mm-hmm.
length for you. And I'm not talking half inch. We do it in 1/4 to 1/8 of an inch, or excuse me, 1/4 to 3/8 of an inch for the length. Those things are very important. And when you dial in the lie angle and you dial in the length, those two are relational. You can't have one without the other, and it has to do a lot with your posture. So that is all
right.
of what Ontic is putting together.
Well, and that's it. Let me just, you know, jump in here real quick. You know, that was really what I was trying to say earlier, too, is the importance of being fitted with your, you know, for a putter. Because I'll give you myself as an example. I'm 6'4", but mm-hmm. most of my height is in my legs.
Yes.
I mean, I'm fairly balanced. I mean, I don't have, you know, a super short torso or anything, but a lot of, you know, my length is in my legs. But you might take somebody else who is 6'4", and maybe their upper body is a little bit longer and their legs are a little bit shorter. So just because somebody's the same height, they may have a slightly different posture. So if you're playing
absolutely
with the same
correct.
Putter.
In fact, I will tell you this. I've done a bell curve on the lie angle. Let's talk about that first, okay? Of all of
sure.
them that I have personally fitted, or they have had, you know, they've got themselves dialed in, almost 90%, maybe even 95% of the average golfer will have a lie angle of between 66 and 69 degrees. Now, you go to any major outlet, big box store that's selling putters, and you're going to get a 72-degree lie angle. It's going to be 34, 35, 33, 36. I don't even know if they do 36 too often, but you're going to get a cookie-cutter putter
right.
that doesn't fit you. So what do you try and do? You try and adjust your stroke and posture to the putter. That is absolutely the wrong way to go. And so,
right, and there's a reason why the tour pros go the route they do and get custom fit, because they understand that they want to be in the same posture every shot, every stroke, and if
correct.
They've got to adjust themselves in order to accommodate the tool, if you will, then it's just not going to work for them, especially not their level. So if they're doing it, why shouldn't the average golfer out there have the same advantage and expertise behind them? And that's one of the reasons why I really like your product, is the fact that you're really promoting that. It's not just, you know, somebody selling another putter. You're actually selling a concept and a design and technology that is really going to benefit the golfer, and not just, you know, moving weight around and things, as you said earlier. And that's really one of the reasons why I really enjoyed listening to you the last time and wanted to have you back.
Well, thank you. You are correct. It is to get the right putter. I've made this comment. It's going to be on our new website, by the way, that if we fit you and we have a chance to have you go through our ritual of the putting procedures, we are almost going to guarantee that you will make better putts. And it has to do with the club fitting you. And that also has to do with the grip size. You know, there's been a lot of talk
right.
about the grip pressure, et cetera. I don't know how to really dial into the grip pressure. I believe that the feeling is mostly with the instructors is that the pressure should be light to medium, and how do you quantitate mm-hmm. that? What I do with my students when I'm working with them, first of all, I look
right.
at the grip and their current grip. I believe I like the reverse overlap. For me, mm-hmm. I use a double reverse overlap. It's a little different grip. But after they get the grip and I work with them a little bit, I actually ask them, and I look at their hands. If they got white knuckles, they're actually killing that grip, basically. So I reach over and I grab the thumb, and if I can't move that thumb off that grip, that is way too tight. It's the wrong pressure point, too, by the way. There should be no pressure on the thumb on a grip. And then I will actually put my hands on their hands and give it the pressure that I want them to feel on the grip. Now, if I was to kind of put a number to that, I would say it's very light. It is probably a 2 to 3. Okay,
right.
So,
well,
I mean, that's hard to say what 2 to 3 is for you and 2 to 3, but I'm just, you know, to kind of give some kind of a value to it. But,
right.
you know,
that's
what I'm
pretty
doing.
Much, I think, with...
Go ahead.
Right, and I think that's pretty much with really golf, the golf grip in general. I think a lot of people tend to tighten, you know, have too tight of a grip, and, you know, as you say, you're seeing white knuckles and that, and putting even more so, because putting is... You know, when you're swinging a driver or a longer iron, things like that, you know, you want to have a little bit firmer grip. I mean, certainly not, you know, an 8-9 or something like that, but you do need to have a little bit, because you are swinging. You've got a lot more momentum than you would with a putter. But, you know, putting is a little bit more of a finesse, and you really have to have a nice even stroke. And if you've got a death grip on that putter, then you've got tension running all the way, especially up in your upper body, and you're just not going to make a pure stroke. And, you know, obviously that's where you're going to get putts, you know, going offline, and your shoulders and that are not going to move in the proper motion that they need to be. And so you're right. You need to have a lighter grip, and that's something that has to be factored in as well when you're designing a putter, because you want to make sure that the grips are fitting people well, that it's comfortable. It's not just aesthetics and how it looks. I mean, obviously that's important too, but it's how it feels to the person. And if they're not playing with the proper size grip, just like when they're playing with their regular set of golf clubs, if they don't have the grip properly either, then it's just not going to work for them, or as effectively as it should.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think subconsciously you will, even if you start with a light grip and you start to make the stroke, I think there is a slight increase in the grip pressure, so to speak.
Sure.
That I'm looking for is that it's really amazing. You can grip with your hands and grip it fairly tight and still not have a lot of tension up in the up into the elbow area. Okay, it can be done.
Right.
So I'm looking at grip pressure. I'm looking at all that. I want to get back to a point you comment about the pros, though, getting fitted, and why our dynamic sole is so critical to have a precise lie angle. As you are aware, every putter on the market today, except ours, we have what we call our dynamic sole. All of them are convex, which means they're rounded. And
right.
If you have a rounded sole and you set up one time and, you know, feel good, the next time you set up that you just move back a little bit or you move forward a little bit, you roll the putter up, you roll it up on the sole a little bit or you roll it down, you have just changed the dynamics of that stroke. Now, when you're
right.
in a pro level, that can be critical, okay, as far as making putts. So that's... our dynamic sole,
well,
when you dial that in and get that lie angle, it's there every time. And the way we teach is when you set the putter up behind the ball, you do it to make sure it's flat. Then you've got to get up in the right position.
Right. Well, and as you said, I mean, if you're moving it up or down or standing closer or a little further away, even as little, and people need to understand this. I mean, obviously the better players do, but some of the higher handicappers maybe don't realize this. And so for you out there that are listening tonight, especially you high handicappers, you know, as much as 1 or 2 degrees offline can send that putt, you know, especially on a longer putt. Now, you know, on a 3-foot putt, it's a little bit different. I mean, you might, as opposed to hitting it dead center, you might go to the right or left edge. But if you're on a 10 or even a 5-foot putt or more, and you're off by 1 or 2 degrees, by the time it gets to that hole, you could be outside the cup.
Yes, one degree at 10 feet is about 3.5 to 4 inches right or left. If you don't start it on line, that's one issue. If you don't start on line and not
right.
the right speed, now you got two issues.
Right.
And I'm in Ben Crenshaw's. I believe that speed dictates the line. And,
right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit here in just a few minutes. But custom fitting is critical.
Yeah,
I just want to make that point to the listeners out there. Mm-hmm. Custom fitting is critical to have it done correctly, that putter is the same stroke after stroke. We have like 5 or 6 models now. All of them have the dynamic sole. We have a patent on that. I have a patent on the MPOS adjustability. And I think with our team that we got coming on board. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention Barry Goldstein. Barry also joined us this year. He is an instructor out of Florida. You've interviewed Barry. His daughter has won 100 tournaments down in Florida. Is playing for LSU right now. And Barry's a top 25 golf instructor. Saw our product, and he. Actually asked us if he could get involved with us, and Barry is also now a new member of Ontic Golf. Having said that, last year, I want to bounce around just a little bit here, Ted. That, last year I talked to a number of PGA instructors, teachers that came to our booth, and we were talking about introducing our ambassador putting clinics. that has not died. It had to be put on a back burner with some other things we got going on. But I'm hoping this next year that we're going to put that together. We're going to be looking at really key golf instructors, golf teachers that are very interested in our system and our putting clinics, and we really want to get that off to help us start introducing this great product to the masses, so to speak. So that
fantastic.
I'm looking forward to hopefully have that out early in the spring. Right now, our website's being redone by a very beautiful lady and her husband, Nikki Litherland and Tiffany. They're in Australia right now. Met them in Maryland when they were here. Fitted Nikki for a putter. Loves it. And so we're trying to get that up and running. So what I would to just talk to you about real quick is the fitting. What I'm looking for when I'm trying to fit a putter and what we're going to be teaching is first that it starts with posture. You mentioned you are 6 foot four. I'm 5 foot seven.
Yep.
I'm just the opposite. I'm probably from my waist up as tall as somebody that's 6 foot, but I have shorter legs. So, you know, I my putter is made for me at 67 degrees of lie angle, and it is about 33 inches. Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Posture. When I'm talking about posture, you cannot fit someone if they don't have the right posture, which means we're looking at the we're working with somebody. We're looking at how they stand. What I like to do is have them stand straight up, feet together, arms hanging down. I like to see them just widen the stance about shoulder width so it's comfortable. I don't want it real wide.
Right.
I don't want it too narrow. I don't want a lot of pressure up in the hip area when you take your stance. I want you to take just a very slight knee flex. I want you to bend over from the waist until the arms hang free of the body and they can move back and forth without restriction that it feels comfortable. As you bend forward, there is a natural arc or angle from the shoulders up through the neck to the head. That is not straight, so there's a natural angle there. I like that angle to be maintained as you move forward. I don't like the chin on the chest. And whether your eyes are over the ball or inside the ball doesn't matter to me. I don't want it ever outside, but I don't care if it's over or inside. If you get in the right posture, you'll make the right stroke.
Perfect.
Okay?
And that's important during the fitting process to make sure that you have all of that in place.
Right.
And this is, like you said earlier, you know, buying something off the rack that's not being fitted. As you said, you know, just between you and I, you know, you're 5'7", I'm 6 foot four. If we both grab the same putter off the shelf, it might be fitting you a little bit better perhaps than it would me. So, you know, you're not doing yourself justice by doing that. You really need to be custom fitted, as you said, and that's extremely important. But what else is important during the fitting process?
Well, as I am doing that, again, I'm going to be looking at the grip. We're going to be talking about the grip. We're going to talk about grip size, too, by the way. That's something that we've been wrestling with just a little bit. As you're well aware, you know, the larger grips kind of came into vogue for a while. There's now a mid-size, the standard. And this is not something that I have developed, but there was an article I read not too long ago about measuring the hand from the crease in the wrist down to the end of the middle finger. And if that is over 8 inches, that spread, then you really do need like a mid-size grip. Since I'm 5 foot seven, my measurement is just about 7 1/4 inches, almost 7 1/2. And I use a standard grip. I feel it. I can feel it in my fingers. And I believe it was hold on just a second here.
Mm-hmm.
It was Brad Faxon, who
is
well known as a putter. I like his routine, by the way, or his ritual, and that's the amount of time it takes him to re-green, set up, make a stroke. But he makes a comment. He says the putting grip should be held in the fingers. I kind of agree with it. You don't want to be real tight, and or you want to have it up where you can feel it in the finger. For me, that is a perfect grip. Now, having said that, and I've said this to every one of my students, if you can putt with that putter behind your back and you're not going to miss any, I'm not going to change, okay? I mean, it's kind of an exaggeration, but what works for you works, okay?
Right.
If you can go out and not worry about three-putting, and by the way, one of the goals we teach is never three-putt, and that's where we get about reading greens and alignment and speed. I believe speed, outside of 10 feet, speed is the most critical thing you can do to become a better putter. You need to be able to control speed.
So, well, and just to touch on your point, just very quickly here, Bernie, let me just jump in here real quick. But just to talk about what you were just saying with respect and, you know, putting styles and how somebody putts, you know, I know you were just sort of half kidding here. But, you know, if you look at somebody like Jack Nicklaus and you look how he set up to his putts compared to some of the other guys, you know,
right.
He had a very unorthodox-looking putting style, but yet it worked for him.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously there's some key fundamentals that have to be put in place, I think, for everybody. But, again, if somebody has a little bit, you know, of an open stance or something like that, whatever works, as long as it's working. But the key thing here, really, that you want to emphasize is it's not so much the putting style as opposed to making sure that the putter is fitting the individual that you're you know, setting up with, and that's really what's important. It's not so much how you are putting on the greens and things like that, but it's to make sure that the equipment that you're using is properly fitted.
Wow, that's a great comment, and I tell you why, because it's about consistency, okay? Mm-hmm. And you, as I went back to the convex sole again, I believe that all you have to do is make a slight change in something and roll that putter. That'll never be consistent. With our putter, Once the golfer dials that in to it feels comfortable and sits flat, he's got to come up and be in the same position all the time. Now, two other things that are very critical in this. Now, let me go. I'm going to get to that too, but I'm going to come one thing again on the fitting. What I'm looking for in length on a putter is I like to see there is a crease line. If you are right-handed and you're left hand high, there is a crease line. Where you would extend your hand in front of, if you bend your hand, so you're looking at the palm, right at the base of the pad of the hand and the wrist, there's a crease line. And when you put your hand on the grip, I like to see the butt of the putter grip about a quarter of an inch above that crease line.
Right.
And then I take that measure from there to the bottom of the club, and that's the length that I will make. Okay.
So as an example, let's say if I Bernie, just to throw something in there, let's just say as an example, if I had a 33-inch putter that I was using to do the measurement with, and let's say the butt end was half an inch below that crease line.
Yes.
What would your measurement be then?
I would ask for that measurement. If you measured a half an inch, I'd add a quarter. So in other words, I would add 3/4 inch. To the length of that putter that you've got.
Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure that the listeners understood what it is.
Thank you.
You were okay, perfect. Yep.
Great illustration. The other thing is if you have the putter right now and you are choking down, you got to choke down and you've got an inch or inch and a half or 2 inches of grip above that putter is not as consistent as it can be. Now, there's other issues, too. I mean, some of our putters are adjustable for weight. That's kind of a personal choice thing. It's really hard for me to say an individual needs a certain weight. There is a rule of thumb, however, in fitting, that if a putter is actually below, say, 32.5 inches, because of the swing weight change, I might make that just a little heavier. And if you are up above, say, 35.5 inches, I would make that a little bit heavier, and sometimes just a few grams can make a difference. With our Impulse series, I have a putter that actually I can adjust the weight in those to 1 gram, If there's anybody out there that says they need a putter at 372 grams, we can make it. So we've got some great CNC capabilities. Everything's made here in Grand Haven. And, you know, so the fitting part of it is really, really the key.
So in the fitting system, you want to make sure, number one, you want to check the posture. And the relational fitting of the lie angle and the putter length. So there's really three points that you're looking for when custom fitting one of the putters.
Yes, so that is true, but then a weight may become an issue with someone. They may like a little bit heavier putter. And, of course, style. You know, everybody doesn't like a mallet. Everybody doesn't like a mid-mallet.
Right.
Some may not, you know, some may not like a blade. I will tell you that Carly Ray right now is using our Signature Series blade putter. Nick, a young kid here, and I won't mention his last name, but he has set a course record at the age of 16. He shot a 62 at his home course. He's a club champion there. He won district, state, regionals in his freshman year. Almost duplicated it. He missed state by one shot the following year. I think I love the kid, but I think the pressure got to him a little bit. He just wanted. He's a top 60 AJGA this year. Didn't play super well, but you know, to be in that category at an age of 17, that's pretty awesome. And
yeah,
so we've got some really, really good stuff going on. And so if I may, I don't know how much time we have left. I know you have another guest.
Well, that's fine. We still got some more time. Let me just take a quick little break here. I just got a couple things I just want to throw out there just to remind everybody for those that maybe joined a little bit later in the program, and then we'll get back and wrap up with I know what you want to follow up with here. Just for those listeners that are tuning in, as I said, a little bit later in the program, my special guest this evening is Mr. Bernie Pinder. He's the founder and president of Ontic Golf, and he's just talking a little bit about not just about the putting in general, but mainly about being fitted properly and the importance of being custom fit, and that's something that Ontic Golf prides itself very, very much so, and I agree. And again, Bernie, I want to thank you for sending a putter out to me that we talked about, and you had fit for me, and I'm really looking forward and excited to get out there and give it a try. And I just want the listeners to understand that, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the program, for those of you that were here, you know, most golfers, when they're going out and purchasing a set of golf clubs, tend to focus more on the...
Oops, I just lost you.
These guys are a little bit more familiar with that, but the average guy, that you know, the 20-25 handicapper out there, just doesn't seem to realize that that's important too. That the putter is probably really one of the most important tools in your golf bag. You're using that more than you are your driver for sure. So if you're getting your driver custom fit, then there's no reason why you shouldn't get that putter custom fit. And Ontic Golf has definitely got the solution here. So we want to make sure that we get you in touch with Bernie and his group, and we can get you some more information as the show progresses on. But Bernie, let me just, so we can wrap up here, I know that you want to talk about the preset ritual and setup and that. You want to talk about, was there some other things too that you wanted to let the listeners know?
Back into the fitting, there's a lot of things we do as involved. Greg and I, and as the other members, we're working on an e-book, which is really going to be probably a great book on putting, and we're going to be expanding a lot on this system that we're trying to put together. I'm hoping, I've been working on this for a little over a year already, so I'm hoping to get that together. But a couple of other points is that we also need to find out where is the ball position on both the X and the Y axis. You'll get the Y axis by getting the right lie so that your stance is the right distance from the ball. But finding where the ball has to be on what we call the X axis, that is down the line, is also very, very important, because if it is not in the right place, you have a couple things are going to happen. Your angle of attack, where you contact the ball through the stroke, all of those will have effect on, do you launch the ball, do you drive it down into the green, So we're going to be I teach that right now. I'm not going to get in that online because I want to put that in our ebook. But finding those positions also is very, very beneficial, okay? And other than that, I just a couple things. If you need to take a break for a second, I want to come back and talk a little bit about how to read the greens, how to set up, and a couple of things on speed control.
Okay, let me just take another quick second here, and then we'll come back, and Bernie, we can get on to that next segment. Again, for those of you that are tuning in a little bit later in the program, my special guest this evening is Mr. Bernie Pinder, the founder and president of Ontic Golf. A little bit later, I'm going to be joined by another gentleman, Joe Watson, who's going to be coming on and talking about really a great kind of a neat product called the No Sweat Golf Get a Grip, and it's a spray, actually. For those of you that, especially playing in the South here, as I've mentioned many times on the show, get your hands get a little sweaty and so forth. And this spray is absolutely fantastic. Joe sent me some a little while ago, and I've actually been shipped another shipment here recently, and I'm going to be doing some giveaways on future broadcasts. But what's really great about this is it's non-toxic. It doesn't leave any sort of a film or residue, and we're going to let Joe talk a little bit more about how he came about developing this and why. But really what it does is it prevents your hands from sweating. And as I said, it's non-toxic. So the nice thing about it is once you've applied it onto your hands, you don't have to worry about, if it comes in contact with your mouth or your eyes or things like that. So he's going to be talking. Joe's going to be coming on in a little bit and talking about that. Just one other thing. I just want to remind those of you that again are tuning in a little bit later. November 7th, Mr. Billy Casper is going to be coming on the show. So you want to make sure you tune back and help spread the word and help others to come on and listen to Billy Casper. Phenomenal former PGA player now on the Champions Tour. Won three major championships, two U.S. Opens and a Masters. In addition, he's won 51 tournaments on the PGA Tour and a whole host of other tournaments he's won on the Champions Tour. He also came out with a great book called The Big Three and Me, which it's an autobiography, talks a little bit about his history of the game as he saw it and also some of the relationships that he made along the way and some of the players that he went up against, such as Mr. Nicklaus and Mr. Palmer and Mr. Player, hence the title, The Big Three. He's going to be coming on November 7th, so I want to make sure. And he's going to be joined by another gentleman by the name of Kent Novus, who is one of the owners of the 9-Iron Sports Hydration Drink, which has been really gathering up a lot of steam. A lot of Billy is obviously involved with it, but a lot of other players who I'll let them talk about when they come on. I've been trying it, and it's a great product. And he actually shipped me some out as well, and I really, really like it. It's a fantastic hydration drink and chock full of a lot of great vitamins and so forth. So they're going to be coming on November 7th talking about that, and then Billy's going to stick around and talk with me a little bit about his career and about his book. So make sure you tune in to Golf Talk Live. Obviously, every Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, that's 7 p.m. for you on the East Coast, here at blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. If you want to call into the program and speak to either myself or the guests, you can call here at area code 646-716-4667, or you can email me if you have questions at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that they get read out here on air. And make sure that when you're surfing around on Facebook, that you check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd throw a few likes our way. And lastly, before we get back to Bernie, make sure that you check out the website at www.golftalkliveblog, and on there is some great books of guests that have been on here, and one of them is, of course, as Bernie had mentioned, involved with Ontic Golf was Dr. Greg Ortman. He was on here, if you recall, a few weeks ago, and his book, Golfology, is going to be up there. I promise I'm going to have it up there for Greg. And it's entitled Golfology, A Common Sense Approach to Learning Golf. And it's a fantastic book. I just finished it recently, and we talked a little bit about that on the program a few weeks ago. So you want to make sure to check out for that, and I'll have the link as to where you can get your hands on a copy. Bernie, let's get back to you and talk a little bit more about Ontic Golf.
Great. You know what? I'm just about ready to mention Greg's book also. I got it right here in front of me. Great book. There's some great stuff in there. So, and I want to go back to the e-book that we're putting together. The title of that book is going to be called The Ritual of Intuitive Putting. And those two words were selected very carefully. Greg actually introduced me into the word ritual rather than routine. And that is because, if you look it up, but it means it's a more consistent, repeated act or series of acts versus a routine that's kind of a custom, not special, ordinary. And then intuitive is knowing as if by instinct without conscious reasoning. And I believe it's like throwing a baseball. You know, a lot of times, in the sports industry, you'll talk about being just throwing a ball, not constantly think about what you're doing, you just do it. You got to be almost that way in playing the game of golf. And so that is going to be the reason why we have named our book The Ritual of Intuitive Putting. Now, the other thing at golf, I've always used this. I call it like there's really two games inside the game of golf. One is tee to green. Basically, it's getting the ball in the area. It's hitting those finesse shots. It's getting it close to the pin. And the other one is putting. And if you talk to any pro, they're going to tell you to be able to win a tournament, they have got to make putts. One of the players mentioned, all of a sudden I just forgot his name here, made a comment that three putts in a tournament, just three putts makes the difference from either winning or finishing in the top 10. And that's for four rounds. And if you take a look at the stats, the top money winner to the 200th money winner, and take a look at the numbers, there's a difference of three putts from top to bottom. It's mind-boggling. Regardless of the course, you know, you've heard 45% of the course is putting. Well, the percentage on a par 72 is 50%. 50% of a par rating on a 72 par course is putting. And, so they realize the importance of putting. And if you take a look at the pros, I think they take more time in a pre-setup in putting, the reading the greens, taking more time to do that than probably any other shot that they take in golf. And I always tell my students also, I said, never step up to a putt that you don't think you're going to make. Never. I don't care how long it is. You always want to feel very confident. And love putting. You've got to really like it. And that's what I try and teach my students. So I also teach them this. We're talking about the fitting and the design and why Ontic. But I also go through a series of things with them about reading the green actually starts from the fairway. What you want to do is if you're really concentrating on what's going on, watch your ball roll out. Watch your competitor's ball roll out. It'll kind of give you a little feel for what's going to happen up on the green. Watch the other player putting. If they're putting first, watch the way the ball rolls, especially any breaks around the cup. Take a look at them. Really concentrate on that. And I maybe do something a little different than some. I read from behind the ball. Once I determine and mark the ball, I go behind the ball and look down my line. If I see, for instance, that there is a right-to-left break, I will always walk the low side. And as I'm walking down the line, I'm looking at that line from the ball to the hole very carefully. I'm picking out blades of grass. That's how close I'm looking at this green. It's not a casual thing for me. As I walk, I never go behind. For me personally, I don't go behind and look back. I go to what I call the oblique, or about a 45-degree angle, back 3 or 4 or 5 feet, and I'm looking back up. You know, if it's a right to left, you're kind of looking back up, and I'm looking for the break that's going to take place in that area 1, 2, 3 feet out, because most of the break is going to happen as the ball starts to slow down. And then I go back, and I'm looking at where is the ball going to enter the cup. Is he going to enter it from, say, a 3 o'clock position, 4, 5, something like that? And I don't look at the cup. I only look at that spot. Okay? As I'm behind it then, I go
right
back behind the ball, looking at that spot. I will pick a spot out in front of my ball that I want to line the putter face to. I will take a couple of practice swings at the speed I want to make the putt from behind the ball. I walk up to the side. Now, this is not taking a lot of time, okay? As I walk up to the side, I may or may not take a practice stroke there. I always put the putter down behind the ball with my right hand because I'm right-handed. I line the face to my spot. I look at the hole. I look at the ball, and I putt. It's gone. There is a study done that states that you will make a better putt if you do it within a 3 to 4 second time after you put that putter behind the ball. So this should happen very quickly. Now, I am a straight back. Are you there?
Sorry, finish your thought, and then I'll.
Believer. I do not believe in the arc. The arc putt to me is a two-plane stroke. It is not only the shoulders dipping back somewhat on the vertical, but you also are turning around the spine. I teach, and I've got a little grief on this from some people until I've had a chance to demonstrate. Okay? We've made a product called Putter's Grail that I use for teaching also. I showed this to Barry. He said, oh, my God, I can't believe it. But I teach that the only contact with the putter is your hands.
Yeah.
It's not your shoulders. It's not your elbows. It's your hands. And I teach that the hands, and I'm talking about the hand speed, my stroke length is almost the same for a 2 foot putt as it is for a 15 foot putt. Stroke length. My speed, hand speed is a little different. I want the hands and the shaft to go straight back to line. What will happen, and I don't think about the head at all, I'm looking at the back of the ball. As that shaft goes straight back, as it goes back towards the end of the stroke, so to speak, if you happen to look at the putter, it looks like it's slightly open.
Right.
But if you come straight back down, it is a natural back to square at impact. You will be much more consistent with that stroke than an arc stroke. Then it has to do, as we talked a few minutes ago, where is the ball on both the X and Y axis? You need to find the place that the putter is at the bottom of the swing arc when it makes contact with the ball.
Right, and I think, Bernie, you know, that a lot of players out there, I think one of the biggest, misinformation, if you will, is, you know, as I said earlier, you know, obviously there's different putting styles and things like that, just like there's different playing styles. But I think that they're really, you have to understand the different components to putting, because it's not as an easy science. Like you said,
it's not really a science.
You know what I'm saying?
Ben Crenshaw said putting is an art; it's not science. And so did Bobby Jones, by the way. It's a matter of touch. It's a matter of feel.
Right.
It's a matter of consistency and duplication. And that is not going to happen if you don't have a custom fit putter. I firmly believe that. Or I'd have given up making putters a long time ago. But I also feel, I'll say this, Ted, as I shared before, if you can swing the putter over top of your head and come back and hit it square and make putts, God bless you. Okay, do it. Okay, but I'm talking about young kids that, or even some other people I've worked with. Once I've shown them what we do and how we do it, it is amazing, amazing how much they improve in putting. And that's a delight for us.
And I mean, if you look at some of the best putters, you know, going back in time and even some of the ones today, what your point that you made a few minutes ago about not spending a lot of time once you put that putter head down is critical. Because I think what happens to a lot of people is they get up there, they go through their routine, you know, maybe some of them very similar to what you're doing, but then they'll get over that putt, the putter head gets down, and the next thing you know, several more seconds have passed. And what ends up happening is then all of these, just like much like on a regular shot, all of these other thoughts start creeping in, and the next thing, the tension maybe creeps in. Exactly. And so once you've made and you've committed to the stroke that you're going to make and you've got your line and you know exactly what you're going to do and where you want to put that that blade or what have you behind, once you commit to that, you need to be ready to make that stroke within a few seconds, as you said. Otherwise, you know, a whole myriad of problems start to arise. So you raised a very valid point there, and I think a lot of people don't focus enough on that aspect of their power.
I'm going to add something to that, because as I'm going through a lot of my little notes here, I have an article by Dave Stockton that's who I'm trying to, and he states tension is the greatest enemy of the golf swing. We try to make everything relaxed and natural. So in other words, he's teaching, I teach no tension. There should be no tension in your body anywhere when you're going to make a swing or a putting stroke. But there's other things that need to be done. Again, back to custom fitting, that's critical. Getting the right ball in the right position. And I may say something here. This is a little bit off of what I didn't want to talk about, but I'm going to bring it up.
go ahead.
Okay. There are a lot of myths out here in golf, and it's about marketing. It's about concept. Mm-hmm. I have not tested a putter with either an insert or grooves that improve stroke.
No
roll. I haven't found one yet.
Let me
share this with you. And here's the reason why.
Yeah, sir. Go ahead.
Think about the golf ball. It is 1.67 inches in diameter, 90 to 95% dimples. You only make contact on the face at the area, the land area between the dimples, which is a very narrow piece of the golf ball.
Sure.
It is a sphere. So you only hit it on a 10-foot putt, by the way, with a tape. The size of contact on that ball is less than the size of a racer on a pencil. Not very big.
Sure.
And you never hit the same place twice.
No, exactly. And you know, okay. Another thing too is, and we've talked about this here on Golf Talk Live about equipment in general. And again, you know, we're not trying to bash the manufacturers and things like that. But obviously, it's a PR and a marketing tool to get products out there, and I understand that. But there are definitely a lot of myths in the equipment end in general, because as I've said many, many times on this program, and I make no bones about it, I love a lot of the new technology. I think it's great and it's fantastic. But it depends on whose hands it's in, because if it's not in the hands of somebody that knows how to use that equipment properly, you're not going to get that. And I'm talking about.
I don't want to leave a misunderstanding here. What I said was I have not found where inserts or grooves help in the roll. Not that it hurts.
Right.
Okay. I've just not found an advantage into it. Okay. And so, you know, that's. Now, somebody might disagree with me. That's fine. You know, you ask one question in golf, you get 1,000 opinions. So
yeah, I know that.
So that's my opinion. But it's based on some test data that we've done, and I did fail to mention one other thing here. Greg and I have been working on. We do something very proprietary to our putter shafts that no one else is doing. We have been working on another system in the putter shaft. We've introduced it. Now Greg is doing some testing on it called our VR system. Mm-hmm. We are actually looking at in drivers. And, Greg, I believe we have found some very interesting data there too. Am I correct?
Yeah, we found in our studies with golfers that are my students that they, at any level of play, we found an incredible opportunities for them to hit the ball straighter, or maybe their dispersion pattern isn't as great.
Right.
Without adding any extra weight or stuff that some good golfers would say, hey, this feels heavier, this feels lighter. We're pretty excited about it, but it's going to take a lot more testing, Bernie.
Yeah. But we're getting in the putter right now because we have found a help there. Whether it's going to be as beneficial in the driver. You know, like I say, we are testing that for sure. So, but you know, Ted, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, I've got 40 years of notes here. Okay, but a lot of stuff I just want to come back to the importance of custom fitting. I think we've really dwelled on that. If there's anything I want to leave with those listening tonight is how important the putter is and how important it is to have a custom fit to you, the individual, because we are all a little different. And if we can dial that in for you, then for sure that, again, I guarantee if we go through that and what we talk about here, you will make more putts. And
I'm looking forward, Bernie, to testing my putter out this weekend. I'm going to try and get out there and give it a good workout. And again, thank you very, very much for sending that off to me. I can't begin to tell you how excited I am to it's like a kid in a candy store, and I appreciate it very, very much for you doing that. And I'm certainly going to make sure that I help spread the word about Ontic Golf in the next few years. But let me just close with your segment here, Bernie, if I can, real quick. I know you're doing some work to modify Tiffany and Litherland, excuse me, are making some changes to your website. But your standard website is still up, and that's at onticgolf.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. Onticgolf.com, it is still up. We are still taking orders from there. There's a couple of putters that are not on there. We've introduced the new Mentor. The Light to Fire is not on there. I'm actually redesigning the signature head just a little bit. We're going to put a drop heel on that particular head, make a little wider top line, et cetera, and it's going to be a little wider sole. And so that, actually, I just approved the drawings this week, and I talked to the CNC group. We're hoping to get those. I'm looking to see if my first prototype in the next 2 weeks. And if we get them done, if we make it to the PGA show, we haven't decided if we're going to go. I really hope we can go, but I will have that putter at the PGA show.
Perfect.
So it is
well,
on the
I look forward to it. Okay.
Yeah, it is Ontic Golf. I take a lot of calls. I love talking to people about our system. We don't have a DVD up yet. That is another thing we want to work on that will show the fitting method that we use. It's kind of like I went through with you, Ted, on the phone.
Right.
Of measuring the putter for the length, and then you were able to dial in the lie angle when you got the putter.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
we knew close to what
fantastic.
You wanted to.
Yeah, and it's very, very easy. In fact, I didn't have to do really very much adjustment from what you sent me. You had it bang right on, so kudos to you. But, Bernie, I'm going to have to let you go here. I would love to have you on for the remainder of tonight's show, but I've got my other guest here waiting for me. But, Bernie, I just want to really quickly say, again, thank you for coming on Golf Talk Live. You're welcome to come back anytime, and if you do decide for sure that you're going to the PGA show in January, make sure that you let me know that you are going for sure, because I think I am going to go, and I definitely want to connect with you while I'm down there.
Yeah, I will be there. Greg will be there. Greg just got his PGA back, Dr. Greg Orban, but now with PGA on it. Phenomenal credentials. He's going to be there. I'm going to be down. I'll be there to meet Andy Harris. Whether we have the booth or not, that's an issue.
Right.
I hope to. Okay. It's not inexpensive. Let's put it that way. So.
Yeah. No. I hear you. Well, even if you don't end up having the booth, Bernie, if you're going to be down there, and Greg, I definitely want to make sure that we connect at some point through the week that the show is on. I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight, and particularly you, Bernie, for coming back, and I appreciate you giving the time and shedding a little bit insight to the listeners here of Ontic Golf. And for those of you that want to get a little bit more information or want to get in touch with Bernie, you can visit his website at onticgolf.com. One last thing, Bernie, when do you anticipate the new site is going to be, the changes are going to be done? Do you know any idea when that's going to be done or...?
No, precisely. I have been in contact with
Sometime
Tiffany.
Sometime in the new year, probably?
He's back in Australia right now, but we're hoping in the next 2 weeks. The reason we got to get it up is that we are going to have a Christmas special that we need to get introduced, and we're running out of time. So there's going to be a real nice deal. I'll make sure you get a copy of that too, Ted, if
Perfect.
You don't mind.
Okay.
And,
yeah, not a problem. I'll make sure I'll plug that as soon as it's ready. You let me. That's why I was asking. You let me know as soon as it's ready, and I'll make sure I plug it on air for you.
Fantastic. Thank you. I really appreciate talking to you.
Not a problem, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you down at the PGA show in a couple of months.
Yep, I'll be there for sure. Whether, like I said, whether booth or not, I don't know yet.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much, Bernie. You have a great evening. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Greg, for calling in.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks.
See you in Orlando. Bye for now.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Okay. And I think I accidentally just cut off my next guest. I apologize. Well, he's, I'm sure, dialing back in. I want to thank one more time Bernie Pinder, the founder and president of Ontic Golf, and, of course, Dr. Greg Ortman, who is involved with Ontic. And unfortunately, Barry wasn't able to join us tonight, but Barry Goldstein is also involved with Ontic, with Ontic Golf. Great, great organization, great, great products. And I know that they're just going to continue to supply us with some fantastic products. Joining me here in a second, as soon as he calls back in here, is going to be Joe Watson. He was the inventor of the No Sweat Get a Grip spray, and I'm going to bring him on right now and let him talk a little bit about No Sweat. Well, good evening, Joe, and welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Hey, Ted, how you doing tonight?
I'm not doing too bad. I apologize. My other guests
listening to your show on my telephone, and maybe it wasn't supposed to be, but I was listening with all the comments that Bernie was making about his new putter. Sounds pretty good.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's fantastic.
It does help to keep your hands dry to make a good putt. So I will tell him that. If you got a $5 shot running out there, you better not have sweaty hands. And that we can probably do something about the control.
Right, exactly. Joe, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I wanted to give you an opportunity just to let the listeners know. Joe had shipped me out originally, probably a little over a year and a half ago, a couple of bottles of his product. And as Joe is, I'm here obviously in Florida and in the South, and Joe, you can attest to this. We'll talk in a few minutes here about what how it came about. But one of the great things about this product is down here in the South, obviously we deal with humidity and so forth. And I got to tell you, Joe, that product is fantastic. So I'm going to let you talk and explain how it sort of came about and why you came up with the product and then we'll get into it a little bit as far as how people can get their hands on it. So, Joe, just give us a little background of your product and how you came about coming up with it.
Well, those that have moved from the north, like I did, we moved down here from Ohio, it takes you about 2 or 3 years before your body thins down, the blood does, so that you don't sweat too much, but then you still keep on sweating. And I had the darnest time trying to play golf here and holding onto a golf club. My hands kept slipping, and they were just sweating, and my gloves would get slimy like we all do with that. And so I had a trip to Spain because I designed ladies' shoes, and I spent a lot of time in Spain. So I was in the south of Spain in Seville, which is about as hot as what we are, and I was watching a man painting a house. And he was sweating like a pig, but his hands were dry, and he was holding on to that brush. So I got together and talked to him with my broken Spanish, and we came up with what was an old home remedy that he had. However, we brought it back here, got together with a chemist in St. Petersburg, and we put in several other things to it other than he mentioned that helped trigger the device to make it work. And all of a sudden, we've got a new product. And quite honestly, I did like everybody else when he moved from the north. He tried everything that there was, and I won't mention the brands that are out there, but some of them left your hands very dry, but they left a white powder all over everything. And there was other ones out there that I think they were called sticky hands. I don't think they exist anymore. It worked, kept your hands dry. The problem is you went into a bunker all that sticky stuff got on your grips and all the sand got on your grips at the same time. So
right.
we tried to do everything with this product to stay away from any of the negative things. And one of them was mm-hmm. my neighbor that happens to live in this little island where I live at in Sarasota has a allergy to odors. And since knowing
right.
him, I found out a lot of people have the allergy to the odors, and they go into amphiolytic shock, so we made sure that this product has no odor to it. And it's all food
right.
grade, so it's certainly not going to kill anybody, but it does keep your hands dry and all of the humidity that Ted and I are talking about.
Yeah. Well, what I liked about it, and you touched on it you know, really perfectly, the one thing I liked about it, it was non-toxic, so you didn't have to worry, as you said, for those, and especially this day and age where there's a lot of allergies and things out there, and it didn't leave any sort of a residue or powder, you know, effect. And what I did, and I don't know if this was, you know, sort of one of the proper ways, but just as an example, and I'll let you talk about, you know, how it's applied in that, but I obviously play with a glove on my left hand, and one of the things that I did was I actually applied it on my hands before I actually put the glove on. And what I found it did was on the hand that, you know, I wear my golf club, it actually prevented it from creating a lot of moisture underneath. And a lot of times, like as we both understand here, playing in Florida in the middle of summer, it gets darn hot. And, you know, so even your glove gets, you know, sweaty and you just a mess. And I found that the product, even with my hand inside the glove, still managed to work and prevented my hands from sweating up, which saved me having to replace a lot of golf gloves.
Well, it's a lot of fun to be able to see people, especially that come down here from the north and they're playing golf, and we're not sweating because it's relatively cool for us when it gets to be in the 60s and 70s, and they're still sweating, and see them hanging their glove on the side of their golf cart because they've sweated so much, and I just go over and squirt their hands with this stuff and tell them they won't do that anymore. The glove is interesting. It will probably let your glove last five times as long as normal. You just don't get that slimy feeling that you do when
right.
when your hands sweat underneath it. And we've been trying something different with the glove, and I'm always a little reluctant about talking about it because I happen to like the feel of a glove on my left hand like you do, and pro shops mm. want to sell gloves. So we're not trying to put glove business out of business at all. We're just trying to keep it from being slimy. And the one thing that we're trying with it is that if it's a leather glove, a real Cabretta kid skin that has
right.
pores in it, just like your hands do, if you spray the inside of that glove before you ever put it on when it's brand new and spray the outside,
yep.
you'll be amazed at how long it'll last.
Well, I'm going to have to try that. I didn't do, and I wish I had to talk to you first because I could probably save myself a few more gloves. But I did, as I said, I sprayed it on my hand, you know, that went in the glove, and I still found it helped tremendously from the glove getting moist and sliming, as you said.
One thing, Ted, that I have found that you know, as you stay and you start talking to people all over the world about this, because we sell it on the internet and it goes worldwide, and especially when our temperature starts to get cooler here in Australia, it starts to get extremely hot at the same time, and we get orders that keep coming in from Australia and New Zealand. But in talking
right.
to a couple of pros that we have that use the product, in fact, there's a young boy in England, in Hoylake, Jason Drainfield, and he swears by it. He says, I don't even practice until I spray my hands with it to go out there because it helps me hold the grip lighter. I don't have to put a stranglehold
yep.
on that grip to hold on to it when it's sweating. It says I make a better swing.
Well, and also, too, you know, what I found it did for me, and this is why, you know, I was very, you know, happy to have you come on and promote this. You know, I have been promoting this for some time now on the show, and I've got it up on our website, is what I also found, too, because my hands weren't sweating like they were in the past, even my grips, like a lot of times if you didn't use this product, your grips start to get a little bit slimy, as you said, and after, you know, probably the front nine, you know, you're constantly got the towel out, and I found I didn't need to do that after using this product. And the nice thing, like you said, it's you know, not toxic, and you know, it's not you know, I don't have to worry about an allergy, or it doesn't have some sort of an odor that you know, that is offensive or something like that, or triggers you know, some other issue. So it's a great product, very, very inexpensive, and you can get many, many applications. Let's tell them real quick, Joe, how can they get
the bottle should give you about 50 applications on it, yeah. And, you know, that's enough to take most people through a year. I mean, probably like you and I, that we play several times a week, so we'd probably go through it relatively quick.
Exactly. Tell the listeners how they can get their hot little hands on some product.
Well, if you live in Florida, we have it in I can't tell you how many because I don't have those figures in front of me, but nearly every pro shop has it, and if they haven't, tell them to call us and we'll get it into it. Edwin Watts has it in a number of their stores. I'd love to tell you they have them in every one of them, but they don't. And Golf USA has it in some of their stores. Primarily, you can also do it. You can get it on your website, as you said. You can also get it on our website, which is www.nosweatgolf.com. And we ship worldwide because your radio show, I'm sure, is going to go worldwide.
Yep. You bet. We're all over every nook and cranny of this planet that has internet connection. That can listen to this program, we're certainly in there. We've actually had a number of listeners that tune in every week from Ireland and Australia as well, and really all corners of the world. It's one of the beauties of technology is it allows us to carry our messages virtually any corner of the world.
I think it's neat. I think it's the next thing coming that's actually, you know, what radio show would you go on to? This one's directed at one audience where you want it to be.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I, you know, came up with this idea to do the program is I wanted to be able to bring to my listeners and those that that have followed me on some of the different social media sites, I wanted to give them an opportunity, you know, to get exposed to some great instruction, to some great products, much like we talked about with Bernie here just a few minutes ago, and obviously some great products like yours, Joe. I want to let the listeners out there be aware of it. So, let me just real quick here. I just need to introduce another product really quick here through a short little commercial spot. A young lady by the name of Rita Schieneman introduced me to this product. It's called the Star Putter Putting Tool. Have a listen.
Okay.
Hi, this is Ted from Golf Talk Live. Are you looking to make more putts, shoot lower scores, and just play better golf? Now you can with the Star Putter Putting Tool. Simply use the tool 5 minutes before your next round and make 3 to 5 more putts. Practice with Star Putter 15 to 20 minutes, 3 times a week, and lower your handicap after just 10 rounds. Star Putter Putting Tool, available now at starputter.com.
This is a great product as well, Joe, and this is one of the beauties of doing this program is it allows me the opportunity to introduce to my audience some great products. And you know, she was on I believe it was actually the last show or the show before, came on and talked a little bit about it. And I'm a firm believer, Joe, in this industry that there are a lot of great products out there. And if I can lend a voice and help people become more aware of what's out there, it's not just about the equipment and about the players. Obviously, we want to talk about those things. But your product, I just was really fell in love with. It's a fantastic product, and especially for those of us that are down
I'm
here.
I'm so glad that you came up with this idea to have this radio thing. I think it's wonderful.
Well, it's been it's been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed it. We've got some great, exciting things going to be happening in the new year. And Joe, I don't know how much you tuned in earlier on, but you may have heard me mention.
Are you planning to be at the PGA show, or are you just going to be wandering around there?
I'm probably going to be wandering. I'm not going to have a booth this year. I may look at doing something for next year, but this year I'm probably going to go down and wander around.
I will call you in advance and tell you because I go there usually on Thursdays every year just to talk to potential distributors and things like that about the product.
Right. Well, that's basically. I'm going down for a lot of different reasons. I want to see what's new and so forth. But also,
well,
there's a number
of
people.
I always go play with all the toys again.
Well, yeah,
that's for sure.
But also, I've had a number of guests on the show that have asked me if I'm going, and there's some specific people that I want to get in touch with when I'm down there with reference to this program. We got a lot of exciting things that will be happening in the new year. We're going to be featuring a number of different programs in the Golf Talk Live brand, and one of them is going to be, if you've tuned in the past, you may have heard me mention Coach's Corner, where I'm going to have a number of guests on at the same time. There'll be two or three golf instructors. Yeah, and also I'm in the works right now, and I'll just throw a little tease out there. I can't give you too much information right now because it's still in the works, but we're going to be featuring an entire segment every month on Women of Golf, and we've got lined up some fantastic people that are going to be coming on the program and going to be working with some LPGA players and those in the instruction end as well, that are going to be coming on as guests and talking about a lot of the different issues and things that women are dealing with in the golfing world.
If you will remind yourself tomorrow or today or tonight, send me an email and remind me. I'll send you the name of a young lady who just joined me on LinkedIn, and she has a talk show like yours, but it is for ladies, for women in business, and how that golf can improve their positions in business.
Yeah, I think I know who it is, and I believe she's already been in touch with me. If it's who I think
it
was, I won't say it on air. But yeah,
she would.
I think that's who it is, and we've been in touch. But Joe, I want to thank you for joining me this evening and coming on and talking a little bit more. And as I said to Bernie, you're welcome to come back anytime and talk a little bit more. And I hope that you're going to make
appreciate the opportunity to come on. And, you know, hopefully everybody plays golf without having sweaty hands.
Yep, exactly. What a great product. And Joe, just one more time, if they want to get their hot little hands, obviously they can get it on my website at golftalkliveblog.com, but they can also get it on yours at
nosweatgolf.com.
Perfect. Joe, thanks a lot for joining me this evening. And
you
have a great
evening.
And I will talk to you soon, and we'll talk about getting together at the PGA show. How's that?
You got it, Ted. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Have a good night. Okay. For those of you that tuned in the last part, just talked a few minutes with my guests tonight. We're Bernie Pinder of Ontic Golf, and just wrapped up the show with Joe Watson, who is the inventor of a great, great product, and you've really got to check it out. I can't emphasize enough, you need to check this out. Visit my website at golftalkliveblog.com and visit under the products tab, and you can see it there. You can actually purchase it right from the website. It takes you back to a secure site so you can order. And I believe it retails for $8.99 a bottle, and as Joe indicated, you get about 50 applications. I just want to close with the program real quick with some information I talked about last week. My girlfriend Carol, her brother-in-law, and another group are have put together a golf tournament. It's the Boy Scout Golf Challenge, which is going to be next Friday, November the 1st. That's next week, November 1st, and it's going to be at the Highland Oaks, which is Robert Trent Jones, part of the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail in Dothan, Alabama. And it's a great tournament they put together, and it's really to help raise some funds and things for the Boy Scouts of America. And Bert and some of the others, I think one of the principals from the Scouts is Jerry Freiberg. And what you can do is send him an email if you want to get some more information. I'm going to give you a little bit of information here on the air tonight, but you can contact him at jerry.freiberg, and it's actually spelled F-R-E-Y-B-E-R-G at scouting.org, or you can give him a call at area code 334-793-7882. And it's a great tournament. It's going to be taking place on Friday, November 1st at the Highland Oaks Golf Course, which is a Robert Trent Jones trail, at part of the golf trail in Dothan, Alabama. And the entry fee is $100 per golfer or $400 per team. And if you're interested in sponsorship, again, contact Jerry at the email and number I provided. The team sponsorship is $500, and that includes the whole sign, the sponsorship sign. And all entries include green fees and cart, range balls, full clubhouse breakfast. There's a gift bag, some raffle tickets, and much more. The timeline is going to be from 8:30 to 10 a.m., the registration and breakfast on the 1st, and also at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. is the Boy Scout Team Challenge. And at 10:30 a.m. tea time will be a shotgun start. And at roughly about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on time is approximate, depending on how long the rounds take, they're going to have a raffle and award. So you want to make sure that you check that out. And if you want some more information about that, that's the Boy Scout Golf Challenge taking place at the Highland Oaks Golf Club in Dothan, Alabama. That's taking place on Friday, November the 1st. And if you want to get more information and want to sign up your group for it, or you want to find out about some sponsorship, there's still plenty of time. We've still got a little over a week left. You can contact Jerry Freiberg at jerry.freiberg@scouting.org. And again, it's Jerry, spelled J-E-R-R-Y, dot Freiberg, spelled F-R-E-Y-B-E-R-G, at scouting.org. Or give Jerry a call at 334-793-7882. And certainly help these young men enjoy a great day, and it's certainly a worthy cause. So I hope that you'll participate, and really appreciate it. Just let them know that you heard about it here on Golf Talk Live. Other than that, guys, had a great evening talking with Bernie. And, of course, Joe, always, as I was wrapping up with Joe, I was saying how I enjoy doing this program, and I hope that you enjoy listening to it. If you've got some guests that you would love to have come on the program, maybe you have a teaching instructor, or maybe you know somebody in the golf business that maybe has a great product that you would like to get on the program, certainly you can email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to get in touch with him and work something out in the schedule. And as I said, we've got a lot of great things coming up in the new year, but in the interim, next week I'm going to have another great guest. Diana DeLucia is going to be coming on the program, and she's going to be talking about a book that's just come out called Golf Club World, Behind the Gates. And Diana is going to be coming on the program. That's October 31st. She'll be here on Golf Talk Live at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then, of course, the following week, which will be November 7th, Thursday, November 7th, Kent Nobis of Nine Iron Sports Drink, and, of course, Mr. Billy Casper will be joining me. So you want to make sure that you tune in November 7th. So as we talk to both Kent and Billy about the product, and then Billy's going to talk to me a little bit about his book, The Big Three and Me, and a little bit about his career. And very, very excited to have Billy on the program. Really looking forward to it, as I am with all my guests. So thank you for tuning in this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you missed the live broadcast, if you give it a few minutes, the recorded version will be available at blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. Remember to tune in every Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time for you on East Coasters. And make sure that you tune into Golf Talk Live and let some of your friends know about the program. I'm sure they'd like to tune in and listen to some of the guests. We're going to be doing some great things in the new year. Coach's Corner, I've talked about many times. We're going to have some instructors on here talk about that. And also going to be putting together a new segment, which will be available. And I'll give you a little more information in the weeks upcoming on the dates when that's going to be launched. But also another one for Women of Golf. Got some really exciting things happening there. Again, I'll let you know in the weeks to come. So thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it. And remember to visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog. I'd appreciate it if you'd throw a few likes. Thank you very much again one more time for tuning in this evening. Have a great week, rest of the week, and have a great weekend. God bless, and thank you again to my guests.